So this is the first segment of this kind. You know, the date is March 16th of 2024, and the NSX community, the Arizona NSX family, immediate family, has been impacted by the loss of Jim Cozzolino. We lost Jim within the past couple hours. I'm going to talk about Cozzolino. He's probably one of the most polarizing people I've ever met. And at the same time, you can't do anything but love the guy. Wonderful energy. You know, I didn't know Jim that well, especially over the past 6 or 7 years. We have phone conversations, and, you know, usually it's about events. They're good phone conversations. He was a firecracker, but an amazing individual. Let me tell you my Cozzolino story. I moved to Arizona in 2014, brought my NSX out here, and Jim was one of the first people I got to meet in this wonderful, you know, car community that we have out here of NSX owners. Jim was always racing. He had the wide body NSX. I think it's the FXMD body kit. He does a NASA AZ. Like, he knew his stuff. His NSX, his red NSX, I think he'd owned since it was brand new, 1991. He did all the wrenching on it, all the engine build. But when I had an issue and I couldn't afford to go to the local shop, or I couldn't get into the local shop, because people see us, you have an NSX does not mean you have money. You know, it took me 20 years to get my car. And, you know, people like Jim understood that. And so Jim made the offer. If you come to my house in Peoria, which I live in Gilbert, so those of you that aren't familiar with the layout of Phoenix, that's a good 50-something miles, all freeway miles. So it's about an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours on a bad day. But his proposition was always, if you drive the vehicle over to my house, I'll do the work for cheap, cheaper. And so it was a good deal. But the thing that Jim did that a lot of people probably don't do is when you go to his house, he has a code. And the code is, he will work on your vehicle. And if you just stand off on the side and do social media and don't really pay attention, he's going to charge you more money than if you get your hands dirty. He will show you how to do things with the car. So he showed me how to remove the axle on my NSX, how to pull it out, how to take it off, grease it, restuff it, put it back on. You know, and I went over to his house a few times, and every time I just got super dirty. But his proposition was, if he helps you do it and you could learn how to do it on your own, then he only charged you hardly anything. He still charged you as he should and pay him as you should. But he taught me how to change the brakes, taught me how to clean, completely take apart calipers and clean those. And for a lot of people, that's standard stuff. Depending on where you are in the car person. But for other people, you know, you don't even know how to change your own oil. But if there's anything I didn't know how to do, Cozzolino would teach me how to do it. Remember going into his kitchen, looking at the wall, and it was something out of a movie. Cozzolino had lived that life. I'm going off my memory because I hadn't been in his house, because he'd moved away for a business, and then he moved back, and I hadn't been to his house since he's come back, and I think he's probably been back 6 or 7 years. But you look on the wall, and he used to be a horse jockey. I think he was in the Secret Service or something, like some really high up stuff. You know, it's that wall that you see on TV shows where maybe there's a picture of them and the president, or maybe there's a picture of them and unattainable rock star. You know, he's just. He was a very multi-layered Italian man. Little short guy, cursed like a sailor. I don't know how many cigarettes he smoked when I'd go over there. Just the craziest mouth. And I think the F word was his favorite word. Everybody's name got an F word attached to it. You know, this guy came over here and this lazy mother, you know, and we did this and that mother did that. And I said, don't do this. And he turned around and did it. And it was just, it was a blast. But you love the guy because he meant nothing but the best. He was the best. And I'm sitting here. You know, first off, he gave me the confidence to work on my NSX. I was terrified to work on my dream car. And because of him, I, you know, installed my own big brake kit. And I would empty my own oil and do all that kind of stuff. And again, some of you were like, well, no kidding. That's not rocket science. But it can be. And, you know, a vehicle that you've waited 20 years to buy, you don't want to mess it up. You know, some of my old Hondas, I didn't care. I was underneath the hood. But this was different. But Cozzolino made sure it didn't feel different. We'd also took a few trips to Ace. You know, Ace is the place, I guess, to get parts. And he had a turbo NSX. And that also helped me make the decision to turbo my old NSX. I drove one up in Michigan and I fell in love, but riding along with Cozzolino and knowing that he was one of the resources we had in town that really knew how to work on the cars gave me the confidence. And I would have had it installed at his house, except for he lived on the other side of the valley. And, you know, honestly, I've been kind of kicking myself because I was following the updates on social media and I, you know, most of his last few photos, IV bags, doctor visits, hospital visits. And I think one of his last posts that he put up in late February was, hey, they're letting me go home. It's like, great. He's going to be all right. But then I got a text message from a mutual friend of ours. And he said, you know, I didn't know if you knew it, but Cosley was in hospice. And I was like, no, I didn't know. So I texted Jim Cozzolino, and I called him up the message, but I didn't expect for him to call back because at this point, if I'm being told, other people are being told his phone might be ringing off the hook, he might be asleep. I know he was, you know, when you're in hospice, you're not in a very good situation. And, you know, I Googled, you know, what's the average life expectancy for someone that's in hospice? And they say it could be a few weeks up to 6 months. And I'm like, Jesus, you know, I just wanted to call him and talk to him. I wanted to get his story. And hopefully I get an opportunity to get that story from his kids, you know, Eric and Ryan. And I think he may have had a daughter as well. I don't know. I believe so. I don't know. But I know I've hung around with Eric before, and I've probably met Ryan. But Ryan ended up giving me a call back or texting me and said, hey, this is Ryan. I'm checking my dad's info, his communications. You know, he's not able to come to the phone. He's, you know, but if you ever want to talk, give me a call. I go, okay, yep. So I scheduled a time to call him, and he was unavailable. But I'm kicking myself a little bit. Because Jim's been asking me to come and see him for the past couple years. And I'm like, yeah, I have to get over there. I have to get over there. I have to get over there. And I just never made it over there. And I know I'm not a bad friend. In fact, it really upsets me to even the thought of people being disappointed in me that I consider friends really bothers me. And I just couldn't find the time to go and see him. You know, I have other friends that I haven't seen in years. And I have to keep telling myself that. Because I wanted to go see him. I just never had the time. Or he didn't have the time. But I think in the end, it was more I didn't have the time. I stopped going to Jim a while ago to work on my car. Well, there's the comedy of it is he has a 91 and there's a big difference between the NSXs over the years, and sometimes he would, you know, confuse the differences, but you know, he started having the health problems. He had some issues with his neck, and, you know, he had a lift next to his house, and I didn't want to be one of those customers that had this, he's a little guy, okay, to have this little halfway broken physically guy working on his car. And it wasn't me worried about the car. It was me looking over at this tiny, huggable, foul-mouthed sailor type of person looking up and just kind of straining to work on my vehicle. I did not want to be in that situation. And that's why I stopped going to Cozzolino for work. Never stopped calling him when I had a question. We've talked on the phone half a dozen times over the past few years, and there are always 30 to 45 minute phone conversations. Whether I'm calming him down and telling him everything's going to be all right, or he's offering help for these major events that we're planning. But by the time I really got around to trying to make that effort, it's too late. Like I said, he's a loving father and a loving husband and just a great, great person. There's a photo that he and I took together at NS Expo 2015 in Palm Springs, and he said he has it framed on his wall. So I guess in all that, I'm never going to forget Jim Cozzolino for giving me the confidence, not only in myself working on my cars, but also for being that super special guy, not only to me, but to hundreds of other people. And there's people that in our circles that know him so much more, so much better, you know, especially the track guys. You know, this is a huge loss for the NASA AZ, you know, all the cliche losses with the family, but I just wish I would have made that trip over to see Jim. So if there's anyone in your life that you keep promising a connection with, find the time to do it. You know, I have a few friends that are, I wouldn't say on hospice because that's what Jim was, but people that are on borrowed time, they're on house money. And, you know, you got to reach out before it's too late. So, Jim Cozzolino, you're one of the realest. We're all going to miss your posts. We're going to miss your conversations. And just knowing that you're no longer with us physically just feels different. This is Hard Parking, sponsored by Wright Honda and Wright Toyota out of Scottsdale, Arizona. I'm your host, Jay Penny, coming to you from my studio in Gilbert, Arizona. You know, as I said in the opening, rest in peace, Jim Cozzolino. He's actually survived by three sons and a daughter and a wife. I know he loved his children, great individual, like I said. And as you guys know, I normally don't start episodes off like that, but I felt that it was important to kind of get out in front of that and capture what I was feeling at the exact time. And that video is going to be available on YouTube as well. Not that I need you guys looking at me, but if you're listening to the podcast and if you have YouTube streaming, I encourage you just to go to YouTube from this point forward and just listen to my podcast on the RSS feed, Hard Parking Media. Click the podcast tab and you'll see every single one of these episodes. And of course, you'll just see the show logo. There's no real video, but it does help my channel. Coming up on today's show, Wes Tankersley visits the studio from Boise, Idaho, and Drew Bunkley also drove over from Goodyear, which is on the other side of Phoenix, to come hang out as well. St. Patrick's Day, went out, had some pops, responsibly, of course, had some pops here in studio. And we talk about the big issue right now with TikTok. Will it be banned? Will it be divested? We don't know. But it was a great conversation because Drew and Wes are both on TikTok. I am not. Find out why I'm not on TikTok. Was driving the MDX the other day, and the funny thing happened. I got to the corner, and I went to go right, so I turned on the signals, except I turned on the wiper blades. Why? Because my little Honda Japanese right-hand drive vehicle. But it's funny because earlier that day, I'd driven the NSX. I never made that mistake. I wasn't that confused. So I thought it was kind of funny that I haven't really been driving this little car around that long, and I'm already doing things in our normal cars that I would have to do on that car. Also went fishing. Went fishing tonight. You guys know when I go fishing, it really means meet up with the friends at Long John Silver's. Went to start the car. The Honda Z was dead. Dead. Both my jump packs were depleted. Actually, one had a little bit of juice in it. And so I was able to start the car, but it died before I pulled out of the driveway, or before I even got out of the garage. But I noticed once it got power that I left the dome light on. Have to remember these old cars. So those modern cars, you leave the light on, you're going to be fine. It's usually an LED, and a lot of cars just turn that light off after a while. Not the old 90s, 80s cars, 70s cars. You leave that dome light on, and good luck starting the car the next day. And that's what happened to me. But we went fishing. Long John Silver's is different. That menu was expensive. I bought a combo meal for myself. It's a guilty pleasure, so please don't judge me. I bought the combo meal for myself. Then I bought my mother-in-law a two-piece fish dinner. It's like two fish, hush puppies, fries, and slaw. No drink. $34. $34. And they don't accept American Express. And it's a drive-thru where you have to sign the receipt. When's the last time you went to a fast food place and you had to sign the receipt? Obviously, they're out there. I just went through one. Coming up, Wes Tankersley in studio.
For over a decade, 4Wheel Online has been bringing the best truck accessories and truck parts to enhance the appearance and performance of all trucks and SUVs. They are dedicated to providing an extensive range of upgrades that will match any maker model on the road. Their truck products cover everything to give your truck a custom look and added functionality. Need a wheel and tire package? Head over and use the configuration tool. They carry all the major brands of wheels and tires, so go get outfitted today. Visit them online at 4Wheel Online.
Sitting here with Mr. Wes Tankersley, came into town to watch the Giants play with his family, but he really came into town to hang out with me here at Hard Parking Studios. He's my partner in crime with One Drink Wednesday. We've been doing that for, I don't know, 3 years?
Yeah, it's been a while.
3 years. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Follow us at One Drink Wednesday on Instagram, and I think it's One Drink Wednesday on TikTok.
Yep, at One Drink Wednesday on TikTok.
Drew Bunkley's kind of hanging out in the background looking at some of my Honda PAZ paperwork. So first, I want to, well, first off, welcome back to the studio. It is, we are recording this on St. Patrick's Day.
Yep.
You brought in some proper 12.
Proper 12.
You knew Drew was coming.
I didn't know that Drew was going to be here right when we were recording, so now I feel like a dick, so thanks a lot.
Yep. So he brought two proper 12s, but Drew's probably secretly thanking him in the background because he knows that a lot of this Irish stuff just isn't that good, regardless if it's St. Patrick's Day or not. So Drew has a pour of... what is it? Double Oak.
Woodford.
Woodford Reserve Double Oak. And he's enjoying that. So yeah. We did a cheers earlier. So happy St. Patrick's Day. You also brought me some...
A little smoke wagon.
Smoke wagon, yep. Smoke wagon. This is unfiltered, uncut, unfiltered. So it's like full strength. I can't really read that.
Here, let me read this for you because I've seen it before, but I can't remember. Uncut the Younger Straight Bourbon Whiskey. So this is a bottle that I found... I was walking around Total Wine because there's one right here, and I was like, I'm going to bring a bottle. I know he doesn't want one. He doesn't need one, but I'm going to get him one anyway because I got yelled at by my wife for not buying his dinner the other night. So,
oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So I'm like, this is stupid. We're not going to go there.
There's the irony in that, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So she's like, you should get him a bottle of something. I'm like, well, I'd probably get him one anyway. But I was in there, and I'm like, I saw some Penelope, and then I saw this, and I'm like, I'm going to get this because I enjoyed it. I hope you do. I don't know. We kind of have similar but a little bit different taste in bourbon every once in a while. Smoke Wagon, something that Chase, our buddy on One Drink Wednesday as well, talks about all the time. I think that's probably his favorite bourbon, isn't it?
Probably, because he has more bottles of that than I knew existed. But he introduced me to Smoke Wagon by him posting it all the time. And so I bought that unfiltered, uncut, whatever, downstairs. Actually, I don't think I have it anymore. I think it's gone.
Yeah.
And I've thought about pulling the trigger on this. I haven't. So you have it and it's here. So now that's probably going to be gone in about 3 days.
Yeah. Now you don't have to pull the trigger on it. You already got it.
So going back, we're present on TikTok from you. I don't have a TikTok and I want to talk about that in a few minutes, but you are here in a Buick Enclave. So let's do your rental car of the week. First off, this conversation is brought to you by Cell Shop Wireless Services, AT&T retailer with locations in multiple states. I'm not reading the script right now, so you're just going to have to believe me. Wes, what's going on with your Buick Enclave? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it?
You know, it's kind of crazy because when we went and got, because we have a GMC Acadia Denali. And when I went there, the guy's like, well, you can get the Traverse, which is Chevy. You can get the Acadia, the Traverse High Country is the same as the GMC Denali Acadia or the Buick Enclave, which is like the top of the line. I'm like, what? Buick? I mean, I was.
What did you call it?
Enclave, Enclave, whatever. I don't know.
Drew's kind of looking in the background. How would you pronounce it, Drew?
I would pronounce it the Buick Enclave.
Okay, thank you.
All right, we got it. And Drew's a car guy, so he's Enclave. Like sells cars, whatever. Enclave. I apologize. Anyway, it's a little bit different. It actually is. It feels a little more upgraded than the Acadia. It's crazy. And my wife was sitting there, and she's like, she goes, let's go trade the Acadia in right now. I'm like, what? She goes, this seat is doing something to my back. She's like, there's a massager in the damn car. So you could like turn on the heat and you can push this button. And it feels like one of those rolling wheels at the chiropractor that is like massaging your back as you're driving down the road. And I'm like, oh, this is nice. It only goes about 10 minutes, I think, is what I tested it out. And then it shuts off. And Jay and I were talking about it. It's like probably because you'll fall asleep behind the wheel. You get right. So comfortable.
That's probably really why. So that, you know, you don't lull yourself to sleep. So she likes it. And do you like it?
Yeah, I like it. I just, the one thing that I don't like about it, I think like this is going to sound ageist or whatever, but like Buick, you just, my grandma had a Buick, right? Mm-hmm. And here I am, I'm 43 years old and I'm like, I'm going to drive around a Buick over a GMC or a, you know, a Chevy. And I knew, and I had this conversation because ours is the Denali and I went wrong because I didn't realize that they had an AT4 Acadia because that's what I would have got because it has the black wheels and the black grill and all that stuff that our Honda Pilot that was white, the black edition had all the black stuff. So that's the cool part about it. But as far as like comfort goes and driving this thing around, it's like so nice. It's definitely more comfortable than our Acadia, but it's like, I still don't feel like I'm old enough to drive a Buick.
Acadia.
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 What am I saying now? Listen.
You're saying Arcadia.
Am I really?
And I've called it Arcadia for the longest as well, but it's actually Acadia. But I'm sitting over here smiling. You see the big shitting and grin on my face because we're talking about Buicks, and it's always, I saw it as the old people's car as well, but they had a big ad campaign. And so I'm smiling and laughing to myself because I'm part black and Drew's black. And it seems like they market it to old people and black people. Because you think about all the Buick commercials you've seen in the last 15 years, it's always successful, smart, intelligent, black couples, black people. Dun, 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 dun. And it's like, this isn't your grandma's Buick anymore. This thing is super cool and super hip. So that's my inappropriateness over here, smiling about it.
Yeah, I'll stop right there as the token white guy in the room.
Well, you know, there has to be at least one white person driving a Buick. So yeah. You can't, yeah. You don't want to monopolize it. White people wear Jordans too. So,
yeah.
Let's talk about TikTok. So, as you guys know, and I've said it before, my favorite podcast is the All In Podcast, which is ran by four incredibly wealthy people who they're not trust fund babies. They've all kind of made their money in investing, angel investing. Some have different specialties, tech, whatnot. And the TikTok thing's been going on. And I think on social media, a lot of people just see it as, don't take away my TikTok. They're trying to ban TikTok. You know, the Chinese are spying on us. There's two camps, right?
Yep.
China's spying on us, or everything's good and you just want to take stuff away from me.
Right.
And so I kind of sent this to you guys, or sent this to you, Wes, because I mean, Drew's just hanging out in the background. And we were talking about it a little bit earlier, and I don't think you've listened to those episodes. But what I like about those guys is they have a very intelligent, well-informed, spirited conversation and debate about topics like this. for and against. And we were kind of talking casually because you're a TikTok user.
Right.
Drew's a TikTok user. I don't have a TikTok account, but people constantly are sending me TikTok videos. My wife, my daughter, other people. Dennis, you know, he's always on TikTok. And he sends me, because we get into some silly shit sometimes. So he may send me alien stuff or just right. like weird UFO stuff. And so that's kind of the concern. My wife uses TikTok to watch funny videos, as most people do, look up recipes, you know, try to justify the use of never paying attention to what I'm saying. And
I'm better about sending them to you because I know that you don't want them. So I'll, like, if I send you one, I've vetted it about 10 times before I send it to you. And then I download it and then I text it to you. I don't make you go to TikTok to watch it.
And I appreciate that. I mean, I don't know if Drew's nodding his head. I don't know if he does that. He doesn't do that. So he just, so he just sends them to me. But, you know, what are your thoughts? Because we kind of talked about it a little bit earlier. You know, it's not just them outright wanting to ban TikTok because, you know, supposedly, and there's no real proof of this yet, is what they're saying, other than, you know, TikTok did admit that they've been tapping journalists and how they get their news. But they claim that, you know, the average American person they don't tap into. But the thing is, the company that owns it, Binance, I think is what they're called.
ByteDance.
ByteDance, something like that. I don't know if they're ByteDance. Is ByteDance the name of the app in China, maybe?
I don't know if it's the name of the app, but I know that that's the company that owns it.
And ByteDance.
Yeah, okay. TikTok used to be called Musical.ly.
Yeah, I remember that. TikTok. Yeah, Musical.ly, like L-Y. Supposedly, they are feeding the CCP, so the Communist China Party, and that's the thing. So what this bill is saying is either you divest it or you ban it. And so because of that, divest means you can keep TikTok, but you need to sell it off to somebody else.
Right.
Or else we're not going to use it. And the trade-off is that China doesn't allow any American apps in the country of China. Mm. That seems to be a fact. They can't use any of our stuff because they control their people.
Right.
Yet we have their stuff here. And so then it's the conversation of, well, we shouldn't be allowed. We don't want to have your stuff if you can't have our stuff. So I kind of understand that too. And the counter argument is, of course, this is America. It's freedom of choice. Da, 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 da. We can't make up our minds for our people. People need to make up their minds for themselves. Whereas in China, they control the people.
Right.
What is your thought on all of this?
I don't know, man. I think it's tough because I've been on TikTok for like 4 years. And I think over that 4 years, it's like I made a video about it the other day. It's like, here we go again. If they ban TikTok, follow me here on Instagram and follow me there. Like, you know, like tell them where to go because they're going to do it. And it's like, I don't really think it's going to happen. And I could be wrong because this time seems it's gotten a little bit further than before. But I also feel like they're telling us that they're going to get our information. I can guarantee you they have our information. I mean, I think like it's if someone my dad's got LifeLock on his credit card stuff and all that stuff. And he's like, I've had my identity stolen like 3 times. People have taken my credit cards, this and that, blah, blah, blah. I got LifeLock and it happens just as much. It's like there's only so much you can do to stop it from happening. But what I don't like about it is if you think that they're not getting TikTok's information, Facebook and Instagram and all those other social media platforms are doing the same thing. Mark Zuckerberg's even said that he's doing it, and we're sitting there having a problem with that. So I think it's kind of crazy how that works. It's nuts.
Drew just showed us a headline about hackers stealing Roku account information, and those are data leaks, data breaches. I used to sell identity theft solutions, and you know, once upon a time, and you can actually subscribe to all the data links as they happen, and that happens all the time. But the real issue is with TikTok. It's not about really them stealing your information. It's about controlling what you see. And obviously Facebook got in trouble with that by targeted ads.
Right.
And so what is it? I forgot. What's the documentary? It's The Social Experiment, maybe something like that. It's not The Social Network, because that's a movie. I want to say it's called The Social Experiment, and it's on Netflix. And I watched it a couple years ago, and they had former Facebook employees on there. And what Facebook does is same thing as TikTok and everybody else. They use analytics to steer information your way. And it sounds like it's obvious, but they do it in such a way where they're basically brainwashing you.
Yeah.
And so the biggest concern is can they do this to steer an election? Can they do this to whatever else? And it's been proven that through our own applications, stuff like that has been done. There's a reason that when you watch Facebook and you're watching the reels and you start watching all this anti-Biden stuff, and this doesn't be political, you guys know where I lay on this stuff, all your feed is going to show you is anti-Biden stuff. It's right. not going to show you anti-Trump stuff. It's just going to show you anti-Biden stuff. And it's the same thing with Trump. It's the same thing with the benign advertising. I look at people catching seafood all the time, so now that's all I see is people catch seafood all the time. And so what they've been doing is, you know, obviously through listening, right? Because one of the examples that Chamath, one of the guys on the All In, said was they were talking about dog food, and again, this is a benign thing, and they said maybe we should switch to this thing, and then all of a sudden that's all the ads they started getting. And we all know that. Our phone's listening to us is what they said.
Right.
But the problem is, you know, what happens if they're always listening if it's somebody important? Talking business, an important meeting, president, White House, something else. And I guess my thought against that is, you guys know I recently went to SOCOM in Tampa, right? Military, very secure, and our cell phones weren't even allowed in the building. I had to literally leave my cell phone on the wall, on a shelf in the parking garage. And I had to trust that nothing would happen to it. And I knew nothing would happen to it because there was 50 other phones on that same shelf.
Right.
And so I guess the counter argument is, what about stuff that's going on in the White House? I'm pretty sure, I would think they would have those type of security measures already in place.
Yep.
To combat listening devices. But that's really the thing is, you know, can they sell what their intel? Not necessarily, they don't care about Jay Finney. They don't care about Wes Tankersley. They don't care about Drew Bunkley. But if I'm somebody that's actually important, they could be listening in and reporting. And they've already admitted to doing that with some reporters before. They got caught. They always say they got caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
Right.
You know, so what's to say they're not going to keep doing it again? So that's like the big deal with what's going on with TikTok. So it's a couple of different things. But the counter argument is, there's over 100 million Americans that use TikTok in an unbenign way, obviously, for entertainment. You know, you're just going to make them turn their microphones off. You're just going to abandon TikTok for them and force you off the platforms. Because I don't think you could stop watching it. I think what the original proposal was, you can no longer download it. So it's almost as if you have it, you have it. But as soon as you don't have it, you can't get it back.
It's going to be like Flappy Bird, man.
It's going to be a Flappy Bird. Exactly. It's going to be like these apps. Some of your favorite games that once you delete it from your device, you're never getting it again.
Right.
That's what I heard from last week's episode.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting. I mean, again, it's like one of those things. It's there's a lot to it, but I feel like Facebook and Instagram are doing the same thing, right? Like, it's just the only problem that they have with it is that it's in China. That's it. Like, that's really what they're saying as well. The Chinese government owns it and they're going to do whatever they want with it. And it's like, that's great. But you look at like what Elon did with Twitter and what happened to Twitter after someone took over and stopped all the bull crap that was going on with that. Or X, I'm sorry. It's X now.
It's X now. Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, someone was saying the other day to have Elon buy TikTok because he'll just do the same thing. But it's an algorithm, right? They want you to watch what you want to watch. And I will tell you, out of all the apps that I have, TikTok has they have it down better than anyone else to direct you towards the people that you want to see or what you want to be around. Because I had some viral video, you and I talked about this before, where like there were people just trashing me about the way that I looked at one point. And I haven't had anything like that in like the last 2 or 3 years because it finally just weeded out all those people and they don't see my stuff and I don't see their stuff. And, it's just weird. It sticks you with the group of people that you're supposed to be around with. And then if you post a video about bacon, you know, you could get a 1.2 million views and it's just crazy, even though it was 2 years ago.
Yeah. And I think more than that, and I'm thinking about it as you're talking about it, because on this podcast, they're not all for it. Some of them are very against it.
Right.
For obvious reasons, because our own government listens to us all the time.
Right.
And I would say I don't really have a problem with that because I'm not talking about killing people and blowing shit up. You know, that's a reason why, you know, they listen.
Right.
There's a few keywords that trigger. because there's no way they're micro, you know, analyzing. We have millions of Americans on these platforms. There's no way, but there's a few, you know, keywords. Twitter's like that.
Right.
Facebook's like that. I've never been in Facebook jail, but I know people who have been in Facebook jail, and they can't seem to get out of it. Almost anything they post now, they're in Facebook jail, because you get flagged and you land into a certain group that's all automated, right. By the way. There's nobody sitting there listening to it, and it just bam, bam, bam. And so I think some of the biggest fears they think about TikTok, because the company that owns TikTok, although they deny it, they've had whistleblowers that have had issues. Like, as any whistleblower seems to have issues, like the Boeing whistleblower that ended up dead last week has issues. But they've had people that say that they do send data to the CCP. Right. So, I mean, that seems to be on record somewhere. So I can understand that concern. I think it's more of a national security thing than on each individual user.
Mm-hmm.
But I also understand the fact that they don't allow our apps. Why should we allow theirs? But instead of banning it completely, the thought is to just have it be divested and bought by someone else, and then it'll work.
Yeah.
But I don't, like you said, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I personally don't care if it happens because I don't use TikTok.
Right.
And of course, who's going to benefit from that? Instagram, X, you know, the other platforms. So I'm sure they're just chomping at the bit for that anyway. But as a user, I wanted to ask, you know, kind of what your opinion was on that whole thing. So
yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, I could tell you that my choice of social media would be TikTok, but it's mostly because that's where I could grow. Like I can't, you look at like Instagram, I've been on Instagram longer than I've been on TikTok, and I came in at super late because you'd probably been on Instagram for 10 years by the time I actually got on there. And I have like 3,300 followers, and I haven't like, you know, I haven't tried really hard to get more of them, but I just keep posting and just hope people see it. And like on TikTok, I can post something and hundreds of people will see it, or thousands of people will see it, or, you know, it just, there's no rhyme or reason. We talked about that chain reaction that you're trying to build with podcasting, with posting content and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's no rhyme or reason when that chain reaction is going to happen, but that's what I'm chasing every single time to try and get that. So it's like, hey, here's this guy. Now go look at everything else that he's done.
Yeah. You and millions of others. Yep. And to be clear here, I'm not on TikTok because I'm worried about the Chinese spying right. on me. You know that, Drew. Yeah. You know that. It's because that's the last thing I need is some other app that I get to log into and spend time on, because I waste plenty of time as it is. And I believe you, I could grow significantly on TikTok with the stuff that I do. Whereas Instagram, it's almost impossible, in my opinion, to really grow or do anything anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, my interests have changed. I'm no longer sponsored through the T for the car stuff. And I wouldn't have the followers I have if it wasn't for my car at the end of the day. I mean, you and I have had that conversation. And as soon as I started making it about me, I had less followers and I don't give a shit.
I think you just need to post a Speedo picture. Maybe you'll get some traction.
You know, I can use some car part money. I will probably get the wrong kind of attention, but you know, whatever it takes to put wheels on the new Honda Z, you know, I'll do whatever it takes. But you know, that's the conversation is a conversation, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with TikTok. But like you said before, it's gotten further than it has in the past.
Yeah,
I mean, Trump was saying ban TikTok. One of the things they were talking about before is Trump is one of the big people that were against it, and now he seems to not care.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought is he's got the money bags. You know, someone's been paying. Because money at the end of the day rules. So we'll see what happens. Again, I personally don't really care as much, but if they can take that data on TikTok and use it, you know, for national security against us, because part of the argument is it hasn't been proven and they haven't done anything that we know yet.
Right.
But there's proactive and there's reactive. And so what's it going to take? If they're able to send cyber warheads and bomb our entire infrastructure and cripple us for 2 days. Back when I used to really research this stuff, if our system went down for 2 days, it would never really recover.
Right.
So I think COVID was kind of a test. It didn't completely go down, but it was probably, it felt like everything was shutting down and we still survived, but maybe that's a threat.
Yeah. That's when it kind of got big too. That's what's crazy is like more people are on social media because they're sitting at home and they don't have anything to do. And I feel like that's kind of when it blew up anyway. It was big before. Like, I remember when I was teaching in high school, like, I was a teacher in, I think, 2017. That was when TikTok became kind of a thing. And I had kids walking around. I was a PE teacher, and they're like, yeah, so-and-so's over there making TikTok videos. And you're just like, what the hell is TikTok, you know? And then next thing you know, you're on it. And it's become a huge thing.
You know what's funny is I didn't think TikTok was going to do all that well because remember when they first started advertising it? It was – I remember the very first video, it was dancers. Mm-hmm. It was like two or three chicks, girls, females. They're probably younger, and they did some sort of a dance move, and they did whatever, and the scene changed. And it was like a TikTok video, and it was pretty cool, but I'm like, if that's all this is a bunch of people dancing, I have zero interest.
Yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a -3. But it changed from that. And so I'm surprised it's still here, just like I'm surprised Snapchat is still a thing. If you would have asked me in 2016 if Snapchat would be around in 2024, I would say there's no way.
Yeah.
It started something, but everybody else has stolen it. But it's still there. So I don't know if TikTok's going away. Like I said, I don't really personally care that much, but I know that 100 million Americans do.
Right.
Including my wife and my daughter, so we'll see what happens with it.
Yep, it's all a crapshoot now. It's good to be back here again. Seems like it's got to be like a yearly thing. Here's the thing. I was talking to you yesterday about this, and I was thinking, I don't spend enough time with my family, and we don't do enough fun things. And like, this is something that my wife's on board to do. Like, next year, I think what we're going to do is we're just going to rent an Airbnb, and we're going to stay here for a week. And it'll probably be like this week. And, you know, a couple people, you know, maybe her family wants to come down for a couple days. My family wants to come down for a couple days. Cause my brother's been coming down here like for 3 years now, and he just does it without us. And it's just kind of crazy because I'm like, him and I have talked about it, cause we're both baseball fans. We want to go watch the games, cause that's kind of the cool thing. But, I don't know. I got to do more. I got to stop worrying about all the crap at work and just, you know, spend some of that time with family, because I'm going to run out of that time with my family.
That's true, man. And you know, I think when did you guys have that conversation?
You mean last night, or
was it last night?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's because all it took was me going out to eat.
Yes.
I guess Jay is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess he's not a threat. Yeah.
So there's so many people that I've met through like One Drink Wednesday. I mean, we got Drew here. You, Turkey, I mean, like, well, we didn't meet through One Drink Wednesday. We met through Instagram. But
sure,
like, you and me doing the things that we do has combined so many people. We've had so many great, you know, conversations and connections and things like that. That is just, it's just awesome. And I like coming down here. Like, I honestly, if I could figure out a way to live here, and I've told you that, like, it seems like I feel this way
before.
Every time I'm here, I feel the same thing. It's like, I got to get out of there. We got to get here. And I don't know. If I can find a way.
You were talking before about maybe getting like a condo or something and sharing it with like a family member and like renting it out. But the cost of entry is astronomical still for anything around the U.S., but especially, you know, Phoenix. So,
I've got this house that I just moved into that I've lived in for like 7 months now. That's worth quite a bit, that if I sell it, I could probably end up with
7 months already.
September.
Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably end up making a pretty good windfall on it and then buying something less and just, you know, it's like I was telling my wife, it's like we're staying at the Sheraton Oasis because it has a really nice pool that my kids love going in the pool. And it's like we could rent an Airbnb with a pool in it. We don't have to, and then now we don't have to wait for the pool to open. We can go do whatever we want in the pool. But I don't know. I mean, it's the other thing that's really intriguing about Arizona is that it's year-round warm, right? Like, I mean, there are those times where it rains and you have your monsoon season or whatever, but like, it's hot all the time, but there's no like snow that stops. And we don't do anything in the snow. We hate the snow.
Specifically, yeah.
Yeah. Like, well, right. Yeah. Cause around here there is snow. Like, if we want snow, we can go to the snow here. Sure, yeah. There it's like in my backyard, and it's just like, I don't want to do nothing. And if it was warm out, I'm sure there's lots of places to go do things. Like, I like to play golf. There's tons of golf courses. I like to play tennis. I'm sure there's some indoor tennis centers when it gets way over 100 degrees. You can go in and have some air-conditioned tennis or things like that. There's lots of stuff to do here that you can't do in Idaho, which is on its third winter. And when I got off the plane here, it was like, what is this shit? Where did we get this rain from?
Yeah. Yeah, totally, man. That's why we're here. I got tired of those Michigan winters.
Yeah.
You guys are drinking a little slower than I am. Well, it looks like you're trying to catch
done.
Up a little bit.
Yeah, we're about done. We're good.
We can go out and check out the go out and check out the Honda, check out the other car. So if you guys want to do that, we can do that.
Yep. Well, right. Thanks for having me, man.
Of course, man. Thank you for showing up and making the time to drive all the way over here from your nice little Sheraton or whatever it is up in Scottsdale.
Yeah.
I want to thank Wes Tankersley and Drew Bunkley for coming over and hanging out. Wes, thank you for the bottle of booze. It was St. Patrick's Day. We had a good time. Also, the movie I was referencing earlier is called The Social Dilemma. So if you get an opportunity, go watch The Social Dilemma. It's a documentary, but it's also a film, and it's pretty clear to tell the difference when you're watching it. If I recall correctly, they're going over factual things that happened at Facebook and some of these other places, but they insert, there's some sort of an acting family as well. So that's where you kind of get like the film / documentary aspect of it, but it's mind blowing. And I saw it a few years ago. It hasn't stopped me from being super active on social media. And in a lot of ways, all it did was just reinforce what I already knew. But some people just walk around like zombies with your heads down and you don't care. And you're just, the type of stuff that's going on, you don't even think about. You need to be thinking about it. You need to be aware. And then you decide what you're going to do with that information once you get it. Because a lot of people quit social media. Oh, I'm leaving Facebook, or I'm leaving WhatsApp. I'm leaving this, I'm leaving that, and I'm going to this new thing that doesn't track you. But yeah, they all track you, and they all have your information. But how are they using that information? And that's the craziness of this all. That's the craziness of the potential issue with TikTok and the potential issue with any of these things. Because every one of these major social medias, whether they're foreign controlled or not, I guarantee you they have foreign penetration of people that are kind of controlling the puppet strings. And we're the puppets. Want to thank Right Honda and Right Toyota, 4WheelOnline.com, Cell Shop Wireless Services, AutoCannon officially licensed Honda and Acura gear, Patreon business supporter, Automotive Specialty Tool out of Owings Mills, Maryland, Cuy Automotive out of Winter Garden, Florida, Pell Construction out of Caledonia, Michigan, Big House Small Home Design out of Ashburg, Virginia and Traverse City, Michigan, Shaping Success with Wes Tankersley out of Boise, Idaho, unless he's sitting here in my studio with me, and like I said, catch us on One Drink Wednesday, every Wednesday, 7 o'clock Pacific time on Instagram Live and on TikTok. I don't have TikTok, but Wes streams it sometimes. Sometimes we may end up on YouTube. Who knows? It's a lot of work. If you're a musician to help the podcast upgrade, you can join my Patreon, patreon.com/hardrockinpodcast. You get bonus audio and show swag. So those who sign up and are members for long enough end up getting all the t-shirts. Everything that I do, I send to you. Special shout out to Mark Stoneman, Catherine Cox, Eddie Ramos, Richard Graves, Byron Jones, Bo Jung, Alex Gamita, Drew Bunkley, the guy who was sitting here, and Yasu Chiba all the way in Japan. Don't worry, Yasu. At some point, I'll pay the money, the postage, to get you some more gear. Speaking of gear, you can pick up a Hard Parking Podcast shirt at hardparkingpod.com. You can email the show, hardparkingpodcast@gmail.com. Follow me on Instagram at Jay Finning. Join the Hard Parking Violations Facebook group and the Hard Parking channel on my Instagram. And remember, seriously, also, if you haven't left a review for this podcast, please go and leave a review. If you need help, I'll tell you. I need those reviews. I can't grow without you telling the world how great the show is. Let's do this. Let's grow this thing together. And I'm going to talk to you all next week.